Well, friends, good morning, and once again, welcome to Hope Chapel. Paul and Ainsley Harmon, pastors of Hope Chapel, we want to welcome you who are watching via live stream too. What an exceptional Sunday morning. We have already been celebrating three people who have been water baptized. You're here to express your joy, not only in the Lord, but if you're here to witness those who are water baptized, thank you. Everybody needs community. Isn't it wonderful to say thank you for coming, being a part of that? I believe that's what the Lord would like to tell you. Thanks for coming and being in the house of the Lord. I'm going to invite you to be seated for a moment here. At this time, you know there is occasion here at Hope Chapel that we would do a worship response. And we want to respond. We're grateful to our nation's leadership that has asked that today become a national day of prayer. Thank God for our president. We thank God for the leadership of the nation. Yeah. So we want to be obedient to that. We also know the governor of California has asked that no gatherings of 250 plus in one room happen. Well, we're grateful that our seating capacity is 261, and I think we've kind of just right at that point. So thank you for that. We're also wanting to be mindful just how our own city responds. And so we want to pray in a moment, but I also want to just declare to you what I feel the Lord has placed on my heart to just declare over you who are a part of Hope Chapel, or even just associated by reason of friendships, or maybe family, or even just you're visiting here today. God promising us protection from all evil. But I want to also just, we're mindful because we're navigating, Ainsley and I and the leadership of Hope Chapel, we're navigating even our city because, as you know, on April 12th is Easter, and they called Pastor Paul, can you do what we're asking? Our leadership of our city is asking no large groups over 250. Would you cancel the sunrise service? So that's canceled along with a number of other city venues that are quite large. And there are some that are really disturbed because they use those times for a monetary intake. But there's something that's much more important, and that is there's many people that are very concerned, very worried, right down to the point of fear. And we're wanting to just eliminate that fear. We want to be people of courage. The Word of God's very clear about that. Sometimes a spirit of fear can actually be in there, and we won't really pray for others. We might be more of in a survival mode. It's always human nature where we are afraid to die. We are afraid to become sick. We are afraid to suffer in any way, but not so with the church. There's a DNA in the Church of Jesus throughout the centuries that have really modeled excellence in times of worldwide calamity. The history in pandemics and Christianity, how the church rose to the occasion, and the Antonio epidemic, they feel it was smallpox, wiped out hundreds of thousands of people. But during that Roman era, that the church was remaining to help those who were suffering and dying, and Christianity flourished because the Christians were the ones that were calm and were caring. And that's really what I'm asking you today, and you who are watching. Our world is going to need hope, and somebody has to stand in the face of terror, maybe at times even tyranny, say, Jesus is the answer, and let me bring health and wholeness to you. Can I get a witness about that? It's important. So it's important that we take a look here. On Tuesday, I was just saying, Lord, how should be and what should be our response to those things that are happening? And as is the custom for me, and I encourage other Christians, seek the Lord for a scripture. You know, the Holy Spirit knows the Bible pretty well, don't you know? It's probably the author of it. And many times a book will come to mind, chapter, and then a verse. And you open it up and you say, ah, I know what the Lord is speaking here. It's so helpful. So let me share two verses that I feel the Lord has brought to mind what he is going to do. And the first one you can see right there on the PowerPoint above me is Exodus chapter 15, verse 26. If you diligently heed the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in his sight, give ear to his commandments and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases on you which I have brought on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you. Take a look at that last phrase. God declares who he is. I am. Who are you, Lord? I'm the Lord who heals you. Theologians say that's a part of God's nature. He's a healer. We know that, don't we? Because you injure yourself in the right environment, it soothes over and you're healed. But we are grateful for miracles. And with this verse, God is saying, Paul, just declare over Hope Chapel, none of these diseases will I bring into the encampment of those associated with Hope Chapel. When those words come in any situation, we choose to say, I'm going to believe that. Because everybody has an opinion. And there's plenty of public information out there about what we have described as the coronavirus. But we're believing not only that, but anything. And if you have joined us in our Bible reading, you realize that God, when he was wanting to save an entire nation from Egypt, that when he was allowing those plagues to come upon the Egyptians, that there was a large mass of people that was void of any of that coming upon them. In Goshen, where they were encamped, when darkness came on the Egyptians, the only place where light was is right where the Israelis were. The only place where there was safety from any of the plagues where the Israelites were. So, though things might be coming in different directions, I want to declare to you today that God's going to protect us from all of that. There's another verse in Exodus 23, 25, that came to mind too, and I want to declare that to you today. It says, so you shall serve the Lord your God, and he will bless your bread and your water, and I will take sickness away from the midst of you. I believe that. I am declaring that. For you who are watching, it applies to you. For you who are not even with us, but are a part of Hope Chapel, to some degree, it's even applying to you. I like the bread and the water because, as you know, sometimes when people are overwhelmed with anxiety, maybe mass hysteria, it can affect the economy of our nation. I think God's going to still bless those who are trusting in him. How about it? Do not worry and put our confidence in areas of sustainability of finances. He's going to bless your bread and water and keep back all the diseases. How many say, I'm going to receive that word? I needed to hear that word. And so that's how faith goes. Romans 14. For those who are of weak faith, don't challenge and work them. Just stand in faith. Have faith. Have faith yourself. Anything that's not of faith, Romans 14 says, that's not good. Let's stand in faith in the promise God's going to keep you healthy. And so this is in preparation for us praying for our nation. You'll take a look here in your bulletin, and I had two emails that went out to our church Thursday and Friday, but the four prayer points are now on the lower right of your bulletin. Ainsley's going to lead us in those prayers in a moment, but I want to lead us in a declaration. If we can, go back to Psalm 91. We want to declare this together. We want to read Psalm 91, selected verses together out loud. Shall we do that? Before we pray. So here we go. We begin. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him I will trust. You should not be afraid of terror by night, nor of the arrow that flies by day, nor of the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor of the destruction that lies at noonday. Because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place, no evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over you, to keep you in all your ways. Because he has set his love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high, because he has known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. Can we thank the Lord for that? We're going to believe that. Now, we're all going to pray, and if you are able to, I invite you to stand to your feet. Ainsley's going to lead us in these four prayer points. They're going to be on the PowerPoint. They're also in your bulletin. But let's pray for our nation and those that are needing our prayers right now.
Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you that we are people who will be driven by faith and not by fear. We thank you, Lord, that we walk not by what we see, but by what we know to be true, and that is the Word of God. We thank you, Lord, for using us to bring that comfort and hope to people in our world, helping them to come to know you so that they too will not fear. Lord, we want to pray for the people who have already been greatly impacted, whether it's their physical health, whether it's their finances, whether it is in any area, their families. Lord, we pray that your healing power would be manifested across the nations of the earth. We ask, Lord, that Christians, as they lay hands on the sick, would see the sick recover. We thank you, Lord, for even bringing revival through this way, Lord. We've been praying for revival. We don't know that this isn't your answer. And we thank you, Lord, for touching people who have been impacted. Lord, we pray for our missionary family and our global partners, for those who are spreading the gospel around the world. We ask, Lord, for your protection over them. We ask, Lord, that they would walk in the health and the strength of the Lord. We pray that they would walk in the peace and in the power of the Holy Spirit. Lord, use our missionaries, use those who have set themselves aside for the gospel in powerful ways around our world, we ask. And Lord, we pray for hope. And we know that you are the blessed hope. Jesus Christ is the hope of the world. And we thank you, Lord, that we are your representatives on this earth. And so we too are the hope of the world. Lord, let us not be silent. Help us to be bold and proclaim the truth of Jesus Christ, of his power, his ability to save and to heal and to bring comfort and to bring everything that humanity is looking for. Lord, we thank you. You are our answer, and we look to you. We give you thanks and praise for all that you're doing in our world today. Thank you for working here at Hope Chapel, in California, in the United States, and around the world. And we ask these things in Jesus' mighty name, the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. a shout of praise
thank
this morning.
You,
thank you, Lord. You are our King.
It's never quite a Christian gathering if we're not into the Word of the Lord. So in honor of OSL graduates today, thank you. We're 5:15, we graduate them, and it's a big deal. And plus another church called, really, New Hope Community Church has five graduates, and they've been going through that program as well, so we're grateful. But let's just have a Bible attendance. Bible up, whether that or your electronics, hold it up. Repeating the OSL beginning of the class, here it is. Repeat after me. This is my Bible. It is God speaking to me. I am who it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can have what it says I can have. So I open my heart today to hear God speak a word that will change my life. Forever. Yeah, go ahead and put your Bibles down, and that person that didn't clap can now clap. Okay, yeah. There you go. There you go. Well, you can see we have been taking a look at our theme, oneness of purpose, the oneness being highlighting and enjoying the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus is the one that named it. He says, I will build my church. He claims it. It's his church. And he protects it. He's going to build it. He's going to protect it. And the gates of hell will not prevail. And the oneness is, it requires you and me. You cannot say, I'm a Christian, I believe in God, and never be a part of the church. You and I individually do not constitute the church. There are many parts. So we've been taking a look at that and enjoying that. Today we're dealing with the fine art of going to church. Just thought I'd throw that out there. The title of today's message, The Fine Art of Going to Church. And I'm in the book of Ecclesiastes. It's an Old Testament book. So if you were to go into Psalm, you can find Psalm. Just crack that Bible right down the middle. Boom, Psalms. And then to the right is Proverbs, Ecclesiastes. Finding Ecclesiastes. We're in chapter 5. And we're going to take a look at this. I love the church. I love how Billy Graham would always end his crusades. He'd have an invitation for people to receive Jesus, and then he'd say, now remember. Remember that? To go to church this Sunday. Remember that? You go to church. You go to church. I love that part about him and how wonderful. Yes, thank you, Ainsley. She's flashing. By the way, I want to highlight, too, my wife reminded me that my son and daughter-in-law had a baby girl yesterday. I had a. Now you can all clap.
Now,
and her name is Ainsley. Like my, isn't that cute? Ainsley Elaine Harmon. Thank you for clapping. Now, you know that's important if I'm interrupting the message. How about that? So I want to congratulate great-grandma Dolly Millett. Dolly, just take a look at what a great-grandma. Yeah. She has 10 of those little great ones, and we're grateful for that. So thank you, sweetie. Just in case Luke and Katie, I'm sorry. You're probably watching from your comfy of your room there. So, but remember to go to church after. That's important. You're in church, and I'm grateful for that. But it's important when we take a look here and you say, well, why are we looking at the Bible in the Old Testament about church attendance? Well, King Solomon wrote Ecclesiastes, and we've all heard about what's called Solomon's Temple. And he, in his observation of people coming into the temple, coming into church, has something to say about that, has something to say about church involvement, the fine art of going to church. Now, you've heard me in our marriage symposiums where I'll say, hey, getting married, that's easy. Staying happily married, now that's a piece of art. Staying happily married for a lifetime, now that's a fine work of art, isn't it? I'd like to say the same. Going to church, that's easy. You know, I'll go to church here, there, everywhere. But going to church happily, that's art. And staying faithful to your church over a lifetime, now that's fine art. And I want to look here because Solomon is dealing with what it is when you come into the house of the Lord. Let's look at that for a moment here, verse 1 through verse 7. I'm reading from the New King James. If you have another translation, that's fine. Just follow along with us. It says, "Walk prudently when you go to the house of God and draw near to hear rather than to give the sacrifice of fools, for they do not know that they do evil. Do not be rash with your mouth, and let not your heart utter anything hastily before God. For God is in heaven, and you are on earth. Therefore, let your words be few. For a dream comes through much activity, and a fool's voice is known by his many words. When you make a vow to God, do not delay to pay it, for he has no pleasure in fools. Pay what you have vowed. Better not to vow than to vow and not pay. And do not let your mouth cause your flesh to sin, nor say before the messenger of God that it was an error. Why should God be angry at your excuse and destroy the work of your hands? For in the multitude of dreams and in many words, there is also vanity, but fear God." So let's take a look here. We've got 3 points we want just to address. I think it's important for us. The first being, point number one, watch your approach to God. You could see there's 3 elements. Second point, watch your affirmation of God. And third, watch your attitude towards God. But let's look at number one, watch your approach to God. Verse one, once again, walk prudently when you go to the house of God and draw near to hear rather to give the sacrifice of fools, for they do not know what they do, or that they do evil. Now, it's interesting, in that setting, naturally, God was requiring people to bring a sacrifice into the temple. And for whatever the reason, he's looking at the involvement of people bringing in ways that they bring their sacrifice or their form of worship to God. Letter A, the ceremonial approach. Verse 1, it says, basically, draw near to hear rather than to give the sacrifice of fools, for they do not know that they do evil. Now, taking a look here, that ceremonial approach being basically, it's they're involved with the giving of a sacrifice. They're involved with a form of worship, but they have no desire for the moral aspect of the worship. They are basically coming on in saying, "Hey, I'm here. I'm doing my religious duty. But afterwards, it's all my day. It's all my week. I'm going to do and live however I want to live." That's what the preacher, who is Solomon, is declaring, what he sees. It's interesting, as we note here, so there's a ceremonial law, but they are forgetting the moral law. They're forgetting, what about the way to live and care for others? Be careful about that. Let your prayers be few. It's interesting, probably the best example. Remember King Saul in the Old Testament? He's the first king of Israel. And that the prophet Samuel had to come and just say, "What are you doing again?" Where he came along and he said in 1 Samuel 15, verse 22, you may want to write it down so you can go into your life group this week. 1 Samuel 15:22. And he says, hey, to obey is better than sacrifice. So again, ceremonial approach. I'm just here for the ceremony. I'm just here to just take care of what I know I need to do. But afterwards, it's my day. It's my way of living. Isaiah the prophet in chapter 1, verse 11. Remember when he said these words, "To what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices to me, says the Lord? I have had enough of burnt offerings, of rams, etc." He's sick of the sacrifice. That's what God was saying. Why go and do all this when your heart's not in it, when your attitude doesn't change out on the streets, the only doing the ceremonial approach? So it's important. The sacerdotalism, that word literally means, sacerdotalism is where you have an ordained clergy in our day and age who is ministering the sacraments. He's or she is administering communion. and that or ministering maybe baptism or administering the possibility of maybe the area of First Communion. And people feel that there is a grace that comes when the ordained person does it. So they just need to walk away. So the confidence being is, it's all about the ceremony. I'm going to go and attend this ceremony, and I'll feel good once I'm done being there today. And then I'm off to do whatever I want to do. And so that's what God is saying in His Word to us today. Be careful of just the ceremonial approach. Be careful of not really being fully committed, not just with your commitment to Christ on a Sunday or on your day where you worship, but also every other day. Probably the first time we recognize that, remember in Genesis chapter 4, verse 6, Genesis 4, verse 6, you have Cain bringing his sacrifice. And he gets upset because God accepts his brother Abel's sacrifice. And God comes down and says, "Why are you angry, Cain?" He even gives him an opportunity. Why are you angry? If you do right, won't good come? But be careful because sin lies at your door. So you can see where God even knows how people can approach and say, "Well, I'm just doing my ceremonial thing, and then I'm just going to live however I want to live thereafter." God says, don't do that. That is, don't they know? Verse 1 says that they are doing evil. They don't know that, though, but that's what Scripture is saying. How about letter B, the superficial approach? In verse 2, it says, "And do not be rash with your mouth, and let not your heart utter anything hastily before God, for God is in heaven, and you are on earth. Therefore, let your words be few." Verse 3, "For a dream comes through much activity, and a fool's voice is known by his many words." So when we take a look here, that superficial approach, really that word rash, look at verse 2. "Do not be rash," which literally means don't be hurried up in your approach to just come on in. I'm coming on in to worship, and I'm just going to say a few things, but I got to get going. Don't be rash with your words. Be careful about that. Slow down. Some even think with much speech, I'll just be here and I'm just going to have a litany of words. I'll probably read it even and see how I go from there. But be careful. It says that a fool's known by his many words. Remember when Jesus came along in Matthew chapter 6, verse 7. This is just in that setting of the Lord's Prayer. It's right there in Matthew chapter 6. But he says this in verse 7, "When you pray, do not be like the heathen who think they will be heard by their many words," or the vain repetition. I'm just going to say this over and over again, same thing. I think I'm going to be heard. God says, you won't be heard. So you see here how we're addressing this superficial approach. Have to watch out. Sometimes people say, "Well, I just got my little prayer book. I'm just going to kind of read it on through. I'm sure God's going to hear that." Think. We could see here that God's word is saying, be careful, be careful. Don't be rash with your words, and let not your heart utter anything hastily before God. I remember reading the account in 1 Kings 18. 1 Kings 18, 26. Remember Mount Carmel? How fun whenever we get a chance to take our group to Israel. We're right there on Mount Carmel. It's a beautiful vista. But that said, where Elijah is in the challenge with the prophets, false prophets of Baal. And it's said that Elijah, before he prayed, he told the false prophets, "You go ahead and call on your God to see whose God is going to answer by fire to consume these altars. Whoever answers by fire, they're the God that we're going to serve." And it's interesting, in that verse 26, it says, "From morning until night, the false prophets of Baal were calling out to their God." No answer. Crickets. Nothing. All day they're crying out. Nothing. Nothing. Sometimes people do that. They may be praying to the wrong God. And then, as you know, Elijah just says, "Lord, you hear what we're going through. Answer." Boom. Consumes the offering and licks up all the water. I like what John Bunyan wrote. He's the one that penned Pilgrim's Progress. He said, "In prayer, it's better to have a prayer without words than to have words without a heart. So let's make sure our heart's in it. Do not worry about how or what or even how long. Just be sincere. Just be sincere. God knows you. He knows you so well. But there's something about that sincerity that really is amazing. How about letter C, the sincere approach? So important. Let's go back to verse 1. In verse 1, it says, walk prudently when you go into the house of God and draw near to hear. Now, take a look here, because that sincere approach is, this is really what we want to notice, because it's important, that open commitment of coming. Walk prudently when you go into the house of the Lord. I like the King James. The old King James says, keep thy foot, or watch your step, or be careful as you come in. Do you know where you're going into? Do you know who you're about to see? Do you know who you're about to engage in? Walk prudently. Be careful, because you're about to enter into the presence of the Lord. Well, he's with me always. But there are certain times and environments that we just know, this is where I'm going to meet God. You look at verse 1 again. When you draw near. See that word draw? When you come, I am coming to draw near to God. That's why I'm coming this Sunday. I am walking prudently. Why are you going to church? Because I want to draw near to God. I was so excited about Sunday. It's like, man, I hope somebody's there today. And look, you all showed up. And you showed up on screen. Thank you. Glory to God. Glory to God. But it's important for us, because that is a way that we prepare our hearts. How do we prepare our hearts? Oftentimes, how do you prepare your hearts, Pastor Paul? Well, here it is. Whenever you open your eyes from sleeping and you realize today's today, it begins. Whenever you do that, you should literally, within your heart or express it, Father God, I give you my life today. This is my life for you today. You could go and say, I'm going to give you this whole week, O Lord. But you know, each day is a great way to prepare for your day. It's an important way to begin. You say, well, I did that when I was water baptized way back. Oh, I did that. But each day. There are only 2 days the scripture says we need to be mindful of. 2 days. You know what they are? Here they are. This day. Matthew 6:34 says, don't worry about tomorrow. Amen. There's enough evil today. Amen. Consider today. Amen. What's the other day? Well, the second coming of Jesus. Word of God says, be mindful. It's going to happen. Live as if it will happen. Consider that day. Be prepared for that day. I've often shared in certain settings, usually in smaller discipleship settings, but how I prepare my day, my wife could tell you, it's so that every day I thank God for good knees. I was a wrestler. They crack when I bend them, but they still bend.
Hallelujah.
Yeah. My little genuflex. But I do crawl out of bed and I say, Lord, here's my life to you. I consecrate my life to you. First thing. Because I never want to just bypass the importance of living for God today. There's enough urge for me to sway and go wrong almost every day. I don't know about tomorrow. I don't know about you. There is such a temptation in our society for good-meaning Christians to gravitate back to the old ways of our flesh handling issues and stress. Don't do it. Lord, today I want to give my life to you. And use it now for your glory. Amen. So important. Draw near. Why do I draw near? Look at that next word, to hear. Everybody see that in your Bibles? To hear. Rather than give the sacrifice of fools. Draw near to God. I'm going to hear something from God today. Oh, I want to hear. When you have people that want to hear something today, it doesn't matter what's said or done. It's like, I'll take it. I need something from God. I'm drawing near to God because I want to hear something from him. And he wants to actually give you something to know too. He wants you to know him. He wants you to enjoy him. If you were invited to the White House or the United Nations, I'll tell you, you would draw into that room of dignitaries. You would be prepared to hear. You would not want to say too much. You'd prepare maybe what you'd say, but you would be prepared. When you come into the house of God, this is just a building, but it's where the saints gather in the name of Jesus. It's where we want to take a look and say, Lord, I'm glad to be here. You're going to say something, and I don't want to miss it. I don't want to miss it. Well, with that, Walt Whitman, a great American poet, said, to have great poets, we must have great audiences. I want to say the same. To have great preachers, we've got to have great audiences that are ready to hear, right? And I know that's you, that's for sure. Well, we're going to have to put a part two to this message. How about it? Is that okay? Did anybody get anything out of this? Is that all right? Oh, man. Thank you. Thank you for hearing. Praise God. Well, let me just lead us in prayer right now. Go ahead and fold your Bibles. Open your heart. Father, we want to thank you for today. We're so grateful for what you're doing in our lives. We're so honored that we were called to assemble here today to lift up our worship of gratitude to you, to take that same exuberance and pray for our nation and those who are troubled or afflicted in any way. Our answer is from the Lord. Our help comes from the Lord. You will be our helper, each and every one of us, and we will be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, Ephesians 6:10 declares, so that we can be strong for those who are weak in any way. Lord, we thank you for that. And even while we have our heads bowed and eyes closed, let me just lead us in a simple prayer, which is basically, that's the most important prayer that any person will ever pray, the prayer to ask God to forgive them of their sins and ask Christ to come into their life. That sets the tempo and the motion for all eternity. And it goes like this: Dear Jesus, I confess to you now my sins. Forgive me, Almighty God, what I have done against you or against others. And I believe that you, Jesus, have died on the cross for me and rose to life again for me. And I believe that you'll have heaven restored for me. Now, Almighty God, I ask you, make me the kind of person you want me to be. I accept you today as my Savior and Lord. In Jesus' name, glory to God. Now we can really applaud. Shall we do that? I am so grateful that you're here. I want to just prepare our hearts. We want to close with a worship song, but our altar prayer team is here, and we always find people are so responsive to have others pray for them. Today, though, there will be no touching. We're just going to pray. You just give your name and what you need prayer for, so we just quietly will be worshiping the Lord, and let's just put a real expression of the power and confidence God's going to handle that prayer. So, altar prayer team, would you come forward? Let's see how many we have here today in order for that. And I'm going to invite you all to stand to your feet. Would you stand? And let's just, during this worship time, this prayer, this song, let's go ahead and invite anybody that wants to come forward at this time. You find a lady. Ladies, come to the ladies. Men, come to the men. Let's just worship the Lord as we take a moment here before concluding. Time you can come now for prayer. If you're needing prayer, you step on out. They'll make room for you to come. Good.
You give life, you are love, you
Just before I dismiss you and just speak a blessing over you, I want to remind you, if you have received Christ today or online, if you would notify us and email us or respond to the screen that's to the right, we would be happy to respond to that. Or if you're here today and you need a Bible or what is the next steps in Christ, we want to get you going on that. Want to also just encourage you, Ainsley, would you come forward? We want to just invite those who are water baptized. I know some of you have friends and family, but we're going to take our three baptismal candidates and put them by the glass doors. And remember, either toe tap or a knuckle punch, but no embrace. No embrace. I just thought, unless you have hand sanitizer and you just lather them up. How about that? So if you don't mind, Ainsley's going to just address Lori and also Quentin and I think Elizabeth. And we're going to look forward to seeing you here at 5:15 for the graduation. Finally, thank you, ushers. Our ushers are ready. We just want to make it very convenient and securely safe for you to just put your thanksgiving to God right there in the offering pouch as you part. Well, Father, I want to just thank you for your goodness. And Lord, according to your way that you've asked the priest to bless the children, according to Numbers 6:24, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. The Lord bless you in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, everybody. Thanks for coming. Great day. Great day. I want to thank you for joining us today at Hope Chapel Huntington Beach. It's our desire to share Hope Chapel's teachings globally, and we'll be excited to hear how they are empowering others to live for Jesus. If this message has brought you closer to Jesus, we'd like to know. Email us at office@hopechapelhb.org. And if you would like to support this ministry financially, you can give online securely by clicking the Give button above. If you're interested in Hope Chapel contacting you, fill out the Get Connected tab below. Whatever season of life you're in, we want to go through it with you. Again, thank you for joining us.